All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a Kiss-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy.
All right, welcome to episode 523 of the Kiss FAQ podcast. I want to thank everyone who's joining us live who clearly are not serious collectors or have already gotten out there and spent 10 hours in line to find out that their record store didn't get any of the shit that they wanted it to get because it's all left in the drawer as well. So Austin Newland, RJ Jordan, Opal Archive, Ronnie Parker, AB, Blue Racer. We've got Daniel Weeze.
Hi.
The voice of reason, Ken.
Hello.
Marcus Almighty Mark.
Greetings.
And back for a second week in a row. Love it.
What? New world record.
What the hell?
Pretty good.
It is Saturday, and Lonnie is available.
Right?
I don't know if that's worse or than not being available during the week, being available on a Saturday. I don't know. Kind of makes us all look like nowhere to go.
Lonnie, have you bought another Kiss t-shirt? I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say the same thing.
This is one that came with the Kiss Army membership last year, I think.
Okay.
Nothing like that.
That's a pretty cool design. I think
it's actually not bad for a free shirt.
I did get the Kiss Army membership last year for the last time. And, you know, again, I've had no complaints with the product that they send out with it.
It's a heavy shirt, too. It's not, like, cheap, which is nice.
It survived the first wash.
That's good. Right.
Yep. But, I mean, everything else is a bonus after the first wash when it comes to these t-shirts. Danny Sigelman, no, there's no hate. I don't like Record Store Day. I don't like the flipping. I don't like standing in line. Let's be completely honest. I hate queues. So I just don't participate. I haven't participated in one in a few years. Since the Aerosmith 1971 show, I went to the record store for that, and that was back during COVID era when you had to line up outside and fill out a piece of paper with what you wanted, and it worked out pretty well. So now I'm just not into it because a lot of the stuff does end up on eBay, and you know, it's luck of the draw again, and I don't like relying on luck of the draw, especially after standing in line. So Danny, Taylor Swift, I tried to listen to her new album yesterday. I'm like, all this Taylor Swift crap.
Why?
Like, because I got to keep an open mind and see what's going on in the world. Sure. And I made it four songs in, and they were all the same. It's just not my taste. And then I realized that a new Pearl Jam had dropped, and they're a band I never liked. So I went and listened to them, and it was actually a pretty good album. Enjoyed it for what it is. It's not as not as pompous. They're like an American U2 to me. But there we go.
They were more like that,
yeah.
They were pretty cool when they came on the scene in the early 90s when he, you know, moved around the stage and, you know, climbed up the stage and stuff. Alive, I think, was a cool song they had in the early 90s. Really cool song.
That's when they were trying to be the next generation Doors, but then that kind of wore out.
Yeah.
Back in that day, they were cool. The 10 album was pretty decent. Mother Love Bone, which was great. Temple of the Dog, again, a lot of related stuff from a lot of the guys involved. But we're not here to talk about Seattle. We're here to talk
Pearl
about
Jam.
Yeah. We are the Kiss FAQ podcast, and we're here to hate on the band we love.
Exactly.
We are back.
Sometimes
we're good at that.
Yeah, sometimes it comes out that way, but, you know.
We're honest. We're honest.
We're honest. We like stuff. We don't like stuff, and it changes on a daily basis. So we're doing the death match today. We are jumping back in. This is round four. So pink is going into black this week.
But you and how many songs are left?
I believe it's 31.
We're closing in. Okay.
We are whittling down. We are separating the half from the wheat.
Pink into black. I got you, Lonnie.
Some hard matchups.
Other way around.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Let's jump straight in. First song out of the hat is Strutter.
Oh, Strutter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to go up against Creatures of the Night versus Strutter.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
This is going to be interesting. So let me just write your guys' names down because I'm behind. Mark, Daniel, Jackass at the end, Julian. All right.
No, you're talking about me.
No, I'm under my thumb. Let's start with you, Lonnie. Creatures of the Night or Strutter?
That's tough. They get tough from here on out. Mm. They're all going to be tough. Man, that's tough. But I'm going to go Creatures of the Night. It's probably not going to win. Ken's hiding his head in shame that he associates with me. but I'm going to go Creatures of the Night. I love
great songs.
I just love the bombastic vibe.
Studio
of that
version.
Song.
Yeah.
Studio version. Correct. Yeah. It's the best version of that song. It's a studio version. I just love the bombastic feel of that and the way it kicks off that record. And man, Strutter's so good, and it's just so core and so great. And everything about it is just classic Kiss. And it's tough, and I might regret picking it, but I'm going to go Creatures. I love the studio version of Creatures of the Night.
That's right. We're going to give Ken the immediate retort.
Yeah, here it comes.
Lunacy. Bring it.
Come on, Ken.
Yeah, Creatures of the Night, it's a great lead-off song. It's a good comeback song on Creatures of, that album. I've never liked it as much as some other people have liked it, and probably, I guess, not as much as Lonnie has liked it. But, it's still a really good song, but it doesn't match, the simplistic nature of rock and roll and Kiss and the whole vibe of them in 1974, the strut, Strutter. It's just a great lead-off song for that album. And, the Stonesy feel and the whole bit. It's just classic, great Kiss, at their early best. So I have to go Strutter. I mean, it's just Strutter. That was the easy one for me.
Mark, is it easy for you?
Well, it's easy for me too. I mean, I've always said it before. I love that first record. Okay. The problem with the first record, though, is that the way it sounds, if they would have got like Neil Bogart to do what he did with Dress to Kill for that album, man, it would have been miles better. I mean, the songs on it are fantastic. I do love it. The whole thing is almost like a greatest hits. But Creatures of the Night, that album is just markedly better, in my opinion. It's a much better record overall. It's always been in my top three, to be honest with you. And Creatures of the Night, I just think, just destroys Strutter. I mean, we're talking about studio records here, okay? We're not talking, forget Alive and all that shit. We're talking about studio stuff, and there's no comparison. Creatures of the Night is the way to go.
And all that shit. All right, Daniel. Creatures of the Night or Strutter?
Strutter is actually my girlfriend's favorite song. She loves that one. And I love it as well. Creatures of the Night, great song, especially the studio version. I think Creatures of the Night has such a good sound all the way through, while the first album suffers from a bit of, bad producing. It's a hard one. But I think I have to go with Creatures of the Night. We're talking studio versions, and the studio version of Creatures of the Night kills. I mean,
of course, yeah.
I personally,
it ain't gonna make it to the final. I tell you that.
We'll see, Ken. We'll see, Ken.
We'll see,
we'll see about that. Strutter. What? It feels terrible to make Strutter go out of the competition, but against Creatures of the Night, I have to go Creatures of the Night.
Yes.
You guys just killed Strutter. The first song on the first album.
It's dead.
But nobody would pick
at least
that
kill it with a good, a better song than Creatures of the Night.
Creatures is a great song.
Yeah, and again, the bombast of Creatures is really spectacular. If my vote even counted, I would probably have to go with that. But Strutter is special. But had Strutter been produced by someone like Jack Douglas, like how Peter did it in 2017 with a bit of brass, you know, which was a very early 70s touch on production, would have been a completely different creature. Brass.
Oh, my Lord. I hate brass.
And trombones and oboes. All right, next up. Take me.
Oh, boy.
I just did a remaster of that, actually. Could put that up on the board. It is up against Take Me versus I. I don't think that one's as difficult as some others would be. Mark, we'll get started with your favorite producer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can skip Mark in this one.
Well, and I said this before, too. Me and Daniel did a guitar riffs episode recently, in which I actually did play one time a little bit of I think, or I mentioned it. Yeah, we're talking about the finger claps and all that.
Not that part.
Yeah. And, you know, on that record, there's two songs that definitely stand out. The Oath and I are definitely standout songs on The Elder, which, you know, the rest of it's a little bit of a, you know, crapshoot. But Take Me is off, you know, one of the greatest records, if not the greatest record that Kiss ever made, Rock and Roll Over. So to me, there's no real, you know, thing to think about. I think it's Take Me All the Way. I mean, Paul Stanley, you know, absolutely fantastic vocal. It's in and out, you know, two minutes and some odd seconds, whatever, 3 minutes long. So it's a great song. I love it. Take Me.
All right. Take Me. Lonnie. How about you?
I's fun, you know, it's a good anthem type song, but Take Me is so classic crotch rock Kiss.
Yes.
Innuendo.
In her
great ace solo in it and great Paul lyrics in it. It's total vibe of Kiss in 1976. It's, you know, and I's a good song, and you know it really is, but it's, this one is an easy one. It's Take Me.
All right, Daniel.
I have to second Lonnie. I agree with everything he said. Take Me, I especially love that riff. It's so classic and so simplistic. One of Paul's best riffs ever, I would say. So I'm hoping Take Me will make it to the top five, maybe, because one of my favorite songs, and I think it's my favorite song, at least today, from Rock and Roll Over. Wait,
why? Yeah. Because he's got beautiful hair, and mine has left the building like Elvis.
No, we're
there. You go. Now you're looking hip.
Now we match.
Yeah.
All right. Ken, Take Me or I?
Yeah, I mean, I love I, but it was always missing a guitar solo in the middle where the snapping is going on. Yeah, Take Me, great classic song, great, you know, rock and roll riff. I mean, really, really good stuff from Rock and Roll Over. That's one of the better songs on there. So, yeah, I'll pick Take Me.
All right. That makes it unanimous.
We are one on this one.
Your favorite song, Mark.
All right. I dare any of you to fuck with me on this song.
Okay.
Deuce.
Okay.
The studio Deuce. Version. Studio version.
You didn't want to mess with Julian on this one.
No.
Version's still good.
Yeah, there's better versions around.
Yep. Good.
Thank you. Deuce versus Hate.
Oh, Hate. Okay. Yeah.
Daniel, let's start with you on that. Deuce versus Hate. That is weird.
Dane versus Gene. Yeah.
Deuce is probably a top 10 song for me easily, but I never liked that studio version. Never really liked that studio version. I think the riff sounds kind of off in the studio version. I much more prefer Alive 1 or Alive 3 as well. Alive 3 version is hard rock, heavy metal version of Deuce. Today it feels like that's my favorite version, Alive 3. The studio album, It's a bit sluggish, I'd say. You know, when you listen to it, you hear that there's something fantastic there, but doesn't really come out. And Hate is probably the best song off of Carnival of Souls. Cool follow-up to Unholy from Revenge. But I have to go Deuce anyway. It's just so classic, so I have to vote for Deuce.
Yeah, but that is a really good riff in Hate.
Yeah.
It's better than the lyrics. The riff. The lyrics don't measure up to the musicality of the song. It's just pure, brutal aggression. So, Mark, Deuce or Hate?
I'm going to echo my brother from another mother, Daniel. The thing with Deuce is, while it is probably one of the greatest, you know, concert opening tracks of old time, that it just, the studio versions of these songs just don't do it justice. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, it just sounds like somebody forgot to put on the distortion pedal or whatever when they started that song. It's just so, like, not, no balls to the guitar sounds on this album. But the song is so good, you know, that you can't help but, you know, still want to pull for it. But Hate, on the other hand, is just like, you know, power personified. It blows your hair back how heavy that song is. But it's I don't think it's still in the same league as Deuce as far as songwriting goes. I mean, it is a good song. And I think they did the right thing with opening with that on that song. So on that album, I mean. But I'm going to go with Deuce as well.
Okay, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, Deuce is classic. Even the studio, you know, I like the studio album version. I mean, yeah, it could be produced better, obviously. But it does translate. You know, and a lot of, even though we're not really talking about live, but it translates, that song translates so well live, like certain other songs do too. And that's another reason why I didn't pick, for instance, Creatures of the Night, because I never thought that translated very good live. I never really liked it too much live. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Deuce for sure.
Going to have to go with Deuce.
Hate is okay. But Deuce
no,
is
hate is never okay.
No, hate is what I am. It's not hate is okay.
Oh,
sorry. Hate is okay.
Imagine if you said that.
That'd be great.
All right, Lonnie. Is Hate okay? And is it okay enough to beat Deuce?
Hate is okay, and I like Hate, and Hate was what Carnival of Souls was advertised to be, was where Revenge left off, and I really like the song, but Deuce is so good and so classic Kiss that I can't sit up here and choose Hate over Deuce any day of the week, so it's definitely Deuce.
All right, yeah. Yep. Thank you. You all answered correctly.
You're not fired. You're not fired today.
All right. Next up. Oh. Come On and Love Me versus King of the Mountain.
Okay.
We're going to start off right with Ken on this one.
Who?
Ken.
Oh, Ken. Okay.
Ken.
Oh, me. Yes. King of the Mountain, and what was the other one?
Come on and love me.
Come on now and love me, or whatever. But Come On and Love Me is so well written of a song. Great ear candy single. You know, should have been a hit if they would have gotten any promotion or something like that. Gotten out there to let people hear it, that's a great song. It easily for me, it easily wins. No problem. King of the Mountain is it's good, you know, lead off song. You know, one of their weakest lead off songs on albums, in my opinion.
That's my
opinion compared to the other ones. So, yeah, Come On and Love Me is. No doubt a winner by a mile.
There you go. AB proclaims Come On Love Me is one of their greatest. I agree. Daniel.
I just saw a comment, too early for beer. You know, I'm 9 hours ahead of Julian, so it's the evening over here, and you have to get the... We're an international podcast.
It's never too early, Austin, you know that.
No, yeah. But Come On, Love Me versus King of the Mountain, two songs I really love. And I know Lonnie, he really loves Come On, Love Me. I like it as well, but not to that extent. But against King of the Mountain, I think King of the Mountain is probably my favorite track off of Asylum, at least top two, top three. I love Eric Carr on that song. I love the drum intro. Sure. I love... I actually like the 97 remastered version where you can hear Eric Carr's drums a bit more, I think. They're a bit more upfront in that version. Such a great song, and if you want to do something fun, go and watch. There are some drum covers on YouTube where a guy plays King of the Mountain, and you see how to play it on drums. It's really dynamic and cool. If you look up King of the Mountain drum cover, there are some cool videos. But I don't know. Come On, Love Me is such a great song. I remember watching it in 97, Stockholm, second night, and it was really awesome. This is a hard one for me. I love both songs. For me, they're both 10 out of 10s. But I think I'll go with Come On, Love Me. But it wasn't as easy for me as it was for Ken.
No, we'd like to get these votes out of you as tortured as possible.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's pure torture. Pure torture.
Right, where was I going? I was going to Lonnie next.
I'm glad you guys are doing the right thing so far. And Come On and Love Me, because I know there's love for Asylum on this podcast from many of you, but
yeah,
Come On and Love Me is the better song. It is. I'll be disappointed if it doesn't make it to the final, at least the final four, because it's so freaking good. It's, in my opinion, their best song. So it's an easy pick for me with Come On and Love Me. No torture out of me this round.
Mark? Are you going to stand and deliver for Asylum?
He's going to stand on a mountain for
camp. Let's put it this way. I'm a big Asylum guy. Okay, very big. It's my favorite non-makeup Kiss record for sure. And when I first heard that record, that was the first thing I heard, and it immediately had an impact on me from day one when I first heard it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Come On and Love Me as well. I've played it in some of my bands that I was in. We used to cover it sometimes. You know, it's a simple and cool song, right? But, you know, it's hard for me, again, with this. I mean, I know Ken kind of shakes his head, but I've come to realize now with my good friend Ken that once you're talking about Kiss, he's strictly firmly 70s. Set in, yeah, 70s. In this, from Love Gun and before. Yeah. To him, there's like nothing exists beyond the Love Gun.
Oh,
over
sure
him.
It does.
Yeah, because everything that he, every time you mention a good song that goes up to one of those early records, he's always like, no, this is a no-brainer. But I mean, like, what are you talking about, no-brainer? Like, Hotter Than Hell sounds like garbage. The first album is weak, and he still picks them. So he had to admire his loyalty of the first early records. But, you know, I have a love and I'm open-minded with the later catalog. You know what I mean? I like the later stuff, you know? Yeah. I mean, he claims to love Lick It Up, but I haven't heard any great comments about that so far. But we haven't had any Lick It Up songs on here so far. But we'll see what happens when those... I'm going to say, when they come up, we'll see how he goes with that. What will happen when he has a Lick It Up song versus like a first album song? Then we'll see... Where his loyalties lie, right? But with that all said, as much as I love King of the Mountain, I think it would be an injustice to not have Come On and Love Me go through. So.
Wait, after all that,
yeah. Yeah, I know, like the hell, are you just
all
gonna,
for nothing.
All I am going to pick the 70s song.
Now that I've finished absolutely dissecting,
you just made my point.
You're cooking. Yeah. I'll have one.
Well, no, hey, don't worry. There's still plenty left, you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
People know how I feel with this catalog.
Caleb Martin is a great song.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
This isn't as tough as I feel it should be, because as an Asylum guy and the importance of that one song to me, Come On and Love Me is clearly the winner there, just because it's common sense.
Unanimous.
Well, why am I all blurry?
Sort of.
Common sense with a K.
All right, here we go. Heaven's on Fire. Another song for Ken to disparage. Oh,
here we go.
Yeah, Ken.
Minute, what was
it? It's going to be tough on Daniel. He's like, don't make it go up against something.
Don't make it hard. Don't make it hard.
Okay.
You make me rock hard against rock.
Pretty good.
The Oath.
The Oath against what?
Easy.
Heaven's on Fire.
Heaven's on Fire versus The Oath.
Ooh, the Oath. 80s songs, both of them. Okay. Mm.
Yes.
Who's up? Me?
You.
Me? Heaven's on Fire. Come on. Heaven's on Fire is classic 80s Kiss. It, you know, helped surge them back up in popularity with MTV. The song is great. The song is heavy. It's very 80s, very cool. The Oath is good. It's, you know, one of the better songs on the Elder, but Heaven's on Fire is so freaking great, and it really just helped Kiss's career. And I mean, they still played it all the way to the very end. That's how good it is. They played it that last night. So, you know, well, I know there's a lot of love for the Elder out there, but come on, it's Heaven's on Fire for sure. A
lot of love.
Not for sure.
All right, Daniel, let's make sure that your vote counts in this round, because this song is important to you.
They played it the last night. I don't think that's the last night. We'll see a Las Vegas residence next year. But last time in Europe was for sure last year, but they'll make a Las Vegas residence. But Heaven's on Fire against a song from The Elder, Heaven's on Fire, of course. There's like no comparison.
I
think Heaven's on Fire is such a cool song. Still sounds great to my ears, the studio version. I still like it. Mm-hmm. Paul Stanley, the vocals on that song are awesome. Probably one of my favorite Paul Stanley vocals of all time. And of course, for me, it was the song that made me a Kiss fan, so I can't go against Heaven's on Fire. The Elder song is pretty cool, but it's not even close to Heaven's on Fire. So Heaven's on Fire for me.
Yeah, no shock there. I was wondering.
No shocker.
Wow.
Shocker! That's a cool song.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah, well, again, this is not really that difficult for me. I have to go with Heaven's on Fire, obviously, because Heaven's on Fire is such a strong song. And just like Daniel said, and what even Lonnie said, I mean, this is the song that helped get them out of the dumps that they were in, where everybody was laughing at people who were wearing Kiss shirts, you know, at that time. When they finally came back with that album, and they started playing on MTV and all these other spots, and they had a video that people actually thought was cool, you know. And I'll refer back to the book that C.K. Lent wrote, where he said himself that after that single came out, all the promoters that were booking Kiss suddenly started having a little bit more belief in them again and started booking them in more venues and more places around the country than before that. So obviously people were connecting with it. People loved it. And I love this song. I mean, it's very simple. It's one of those songs where me and my friends used to go to jam nights around this, you know, Toronto and stuff like that. And if they asked us to come up and play, we would play Heaven's on Fire because it was cool. It was easy to play. And everybody loved that song. You know, lots of people would sing along and know that song. And, you know, it was popular, and it still is popular. So there's no two ways about it. I mean, I liked The Oath. Don't get me wrong. I did play it on our riffs thing there as well, and I had good things to say about it. But it's just not in the same category, in my opinion. Not even close.
All right, Ken's been waiting. He looks ready to pounce on this. Ken,
really? He's gonna go for it? Oh God!
All right, I think, you know, when Heavens on the Fire first came out, I thought it was a great song. But, you know, looking back at it now, it's more of a, you know, it's a good song. It's simple, paint by numbers kind of thing. Songs with, they had a couple of those with, you know, Lick It Up and Heavens on Fire and Tears Are Falling. But those are not go-tos for me, really. Though they're, you know, good, there's kind of a hit. I really like The Oath. I think it's great. It rocks, great riff in it. It actually has a solo in it. There's no solo in Heavens on Fire, really, isn't there? No.
No.
Don't need one.
Sure it does. And then it's like, I just think The Oath is a really, really good song. And it was great live when they, you know, did it on Fridays, and that was about it, right? Like
Kiss Cruise.
It was good even on the Kiss Cruise with, you know, Kiss version, yeah, whatever it is. So I have to go with The Oath. I know it's not going to win, but I maybe I'm tired of Heavens on Fire or sick of it because I've heard it so many times. But I think I would go for The Oath over Heavens on Fire. That's just my opinion.
Well, good, because it doesn't count, because Heavens on Fire already won.
I know.
Bye-bye.
Good.
I'm aware of that.
Yep. All right, next up, Exciter.
Oh, Lord.
That's a good one.
Really good. Forever.
Ooh.
Mark, start with you on that.
Ooh, okay. This is going to be odd.
Against, well...
Again, we're talking about a song that's a fantastic opener. And it's interesting, Daniel, they're picking songs that we played in our riff episodes here. You know, Exciter was played as well in there. And I really love that song. What a great opener. And, you know, Lick It Up was, again, one of those records that I remember very clearly back in the day where people were, again, proud to wear their denim with their Kiss patch on the back, because Lick It Up was such a, you know, comeback record. You know, people were enjoying that record. You know, they had Creatures before. People were starting to get back on the wagon, and then they put Lick It Up out, and then that was good. You know, the makeup came off. And then you have Forever, a record like, you know, Hot in the Shade, which was pretty much a dud, and, you know, a delayed tour because it was doing so kind of crappily. But then Forever comes out, becomes a pretty big single for them, and, you know, lo and behold, the tour is back on, baby. So how do you kind of view that? You know, I mean, I love both songs. I think Bruce Kulick does a fantastic guitar solo in Forever. I think it's one of his better constructed solos. And even though it's on classical guitar, or, you know, it's such a well done song. Paul Stanley sings it really well. It's a really tough pick for me with this one. But I've always been more a rocker than a ballad guy, so I'm going to go with Exciter.
Okay, Ken, let's make sure your vote counts this time.
I'm just re-bringing these things up again here on the screen. I just want to make sure people see this. Anyway, okay. Exciter and Forever. I like Forever. I think it's a great song. Nice hit. But hits, just because it's a hit, is not gonna, I'm not going to pick it just because it was a hit. You know, there are other songs that should have been hits that are better. Exciter, one of the greatest opening songs. I like Exciter over Creatures of the Night, in my opinion. I think it's a better song. It's more heavy metal than Creatures of the Night. Again, Forever is a cool song. I really enjoy it. I actually love it. You know, I think it's a cool song. But Exciter, the whole vibe of it, the guitar solo, just awesome from beginning to start. Beginning to start would be the same thing.
Of course, it's Rick Derringer on guitar on the solo there.
Yeah.
Props, you're so bitter about that Creatures loss, eh?
Yeah.
I am not bitter about
it. He's so bitter about it. You can still hear it in his voice.
You're just mad you never grew up in the 70s.
Well, I did grow up in the 70s. I was born in the 70s. Come on.
Well.
Okay, you didn't stop crapping your diapers until you're out of the 70s. All right, so Lonnie, what do you think? Excited or Forever?
They're both good songs, you know, on different scales and different levels, you know, very different, obviously, from one another. And, You know, I echo what Mark said about that Bruce Kulick solo on Forever is really, really good, and it's a great song. But I'm going with Exciter, though. I think that song is, I'm not going to, kind of like Ken, too, I'm not going to pick it just because it was a hit. I really, you know, enjoy Forever, but Exciter is a better song, in my opinion. It's so,
yeah,
it's such a statement the way that song kicks off that album. And, you know, kind of like the White Creatures does as well. So I really like Exciter. I can't pick against it in this situation.
All right, Daniel.
Yeah, you're talking about Forever being a hit. Over here, no one ever heard of Forever. You know, it might have been a hit. I think it reached number 9 in America. But overseas, no one cared. It's a great ballad, of course, and you have to give props to Bruce, one of his most classic solos. But we'll see what happens when Exciter goes up against Creatures of the Night in the next round, because I'm voting for Exciter. Cool song.
Okay, so before we move on, because we've had both of those openers and we don't know what's going to happen the next round, Exciter or Creatures of the Night, which is your instant pick, Daniel?
It's really hard. It's a tie.
Oh, the Ken answer.
Don't be like Ken answer.
Don't be a hanging chair.
Hey,
I can go either way, I think. I'm on the fence on this one. I'm not sure which
we'll
one
see
I would
when
pick.
The day comes how we feel.
Yeah,
when
it
the
happens, day comes, we'll
okay.
Decide.
All right. So Mark says we have to wait for that answer. Okay. Next round is Love Gun versus Turn on the Night. Damn it.
Ooh.
Well.
Well, here we go with 70s Ken. We'll know what's going to happen here.
It has nothing okay. to do with 70s Ken.
70s
well,
Ken.
Ken get us started with which 70s song is going to win this one.
All right. Love Gun. I picked Love Gun. Turn on the Night is a great song. Should have been a hit. I agree. Really catchy song. Probably the best song on Crazy Nights, but Love Gun is one of the best songs on Love Gun. Love Gun, that's great, best song on Love Gun.
In the
one of
catalog.
The best.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And you know, they played it in concert, you know, throughout their whole career. Probably because Paul wanted to play it more than anything else. But just a great song. The whole theme of it, the Love Gun, the sound, the drumming, you know, machine gun
style. The whole theme? What do you mean?
Oh yeah. Well, there is a theme there, isn't there?
Yeah, my dick.
Well, the trigger of the Love Gun, anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, the talking about the musical theme of it, the sound of it, the riff, the, you know, the guitar solo. Fantastic.
Blues Magoo's guitar solo.
Yeah. Hey, if you're going to rip off something good. And it is really, really good. And the Peter's drumming on that, perfect for that song. It just, it all works. And the vocals, that's a really good Paul vocal on that one. You got to admit, really, really good. If you listen to the whole thing, it really stretches out. So Love Gun. Yep. Turn of the Night, I love that one, but it's just not Love Gun.
Okay. Lonnie.
Shut up and play Love Gun.
Sorry, I got a guy cutting the grass, that's how I had myself muted.
What?
suburban America, there's a guy outside cutting the grass Saturday morning.
Get off my lawn.
Right. So, Turn on the Night, yeah, it is great. It should have been a hit, and it's very 80s vibe, and it's, you know, it's great. 1987 song on Crazy Nights, but I Love Gun's so good, man. I'm not picking it over Love Gun. Come on, Love Gun's so classic, and I'm voting 70s Ken on this one. Is where I'm doing. Come on,
all it's right. Love there's Gun. two Love Guns.
Logical Lonnie.
Mark?
Oh, okay. It's hard to hear you today for some reason. You're very quiet.
Probably because the microphone's like 20
here comes 80s, 80s, okay. 80s Mark. Here comes.
No, this is called like, this is the guy who's open to all catalog, Mark. Okay, so for me, I love Love Gun. Okay, I mean, it's one of those records that I really enjoyed when I got into it. And again, another song that I played with my band, I remember playing at a, we went to a biker's party, we played it and it went over really well. Also, so did Judas Priest and other stuff as well. But, you know, bikers, they love their Kiss and stuff like that too. So it goes over really well. But Daniel, who has a great story with his love of Heaven's on Fire, everybody knows, I'm not going to go through it again, my great story of my love of Turn on the Night. Okay.
I thought you were going to say Daniel has a great story with his love gun.
No. if he does have one, I've never heard it, thank God. But, you know, maybe he does have a good story.
Similar to one of Paul's raps.
But, you know, the thing is...
You're making me blush over here.
I've always loved that song. It's always been a song that I hold very close to my heart. And while I do love Love Gun, I'm going to also quote Ken on something. Maybe I'm just burnt out and sick of hearing Love Gun, much how he was sick of hearing Heaven's on Fire. I'm going to vote for Turn on the Night with no worries that I'm sure 70s Ken and Lonnie will have their song go through today with this. But,
70s Ken and Lonnie.
That's a new nickname.
Yeah, 70s Ken. We should make a shirt for that, 70s Ken. And I'm going to go with Turn on the Night.
Well, Daniel, that means you get to be the decider.
Well, in Sweden, we have a saying, kärt barn har många namn. You don't get that. But yes. That means if people like you, you get a lot of nicknames. So that goes for Ken. He gets a lot of nicknames. That's because people like you. 70s Ken, Voice of Reason.
Called a lot of names.
The old guy. I don't know what the they call guy. You. But
the old guy.
Yeah,
the
old
guy. Love Gun against a Crazy Nights song. I can't understand how they can get away with calling a song Love Gun. It wouldn't work over here. I mean, singing about Love Gun. But I get... I listened to Vinnie Vincent the other day. I listened through both his records, and he was even worse. You know, Baby O, do you remember that song? He made sort of paraphrase of Love Gun when he wrote, "Pull the trigger, pistol whip me with your pleasure gun." That's about the worst lyrics you can ever find.
Oh,
pistol whip me. I don't know. What does it mean? I mean, it's my second language, but does it mean that you pick up your pressure gun and you start whipping someone with
the... Yeah.
You ever try that?
Cross the forehead, preferably.
I haven't tried that one yet. Maybe tonight. What's it? So the lyrics to Love Gun, they are, of course, very cheesy and silly, but... You can't go against Love Gun. Turn of the Night, I failed to see the greatness of that song. Maybe I have to go back and listen to Crazy Nights, but that was never a standout song to me. I enjoyed the single more, Crazy Crazy Nights. I think that's the best song on that album by far, I would say. There's nothing else that's
really... I will remind you something. Remember how you thought of Got to Choose before we did the riff episode?
Yeah, that's true, but you know what I've been playing this week? I've been playing that song from The Elder that you played. So it's good that we get together and play a little bit together on this riff episode, because you show me stuff that I sort of forgotten, and so I get excited about them. But this matchup is—it's not even close. It's not even close. Love Gun goes through to the next round.
Yeah, Turn on the Night's really good, but Love Gun, you know, for any of the faults that could be attributed to it when you pick it apart and how it's overdone, and that's really nice. Now play Love Gun. Love Gun is Love Gun. Love Gun is a great song, and again, you guys have covered it well. All right, next matchup is Black Diamond Got one of the big boys against Getaway.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with Lonnie there.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect Black Diamond to be in the finals at the very end. So Getaway is good. It's a great Peter song. I have nothing really bad to say about it, but Black Diamond, so freaking Kiss classic. Even with, you know, I know we're talking studio version with the weird ending to it, but Black Diamond is the superior track, and I think it will be the superior track in rounds to come as well.
Mark?
You will have no argument with me on this one. Black Diamond is probably my favorite Kiss song, period. And the only thing I'm just going to say is that I like the Kramer demo version of it just slightly better, if only because maybe he doesn't have, you know, they didn't tag that ridiculously long at the end of it, right? And but both versions are good. I mean, if you just forget about that tag at the end there, then it's such a great song. And, you know, hats off to Peter. He has my favorite Kiss song in there, and he's the one singing it. So good for you, Peter, Chris.
Daniel.
Two great songs. One Peter song, one Ace song. The studio version of Black Diamond is not my favorite version of the song. But still, it's too good to... The Getaway doesn't stand a chance against this one, so Black Diamond.
All right, Ken, is it going to be unanimous?
Yeah, it's going to. Getaway is a great deep cut kind of thing for Kiss. I enjoy it a lot, but yeah, Black Diamond is, you know, basically my favorite Kiss song, I think. So, and one of the best riffs of any of their songs, one of the, you know, greatest riffs. So yeah. Black Diamond, easy.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Unholy.
Mm-hmm.
Against Arthritis. God.
Arthritis.
Is that a new song?
Gene against himself. Unholy versus Watching You.
Oof.
That is ugly. Daniel, let's start with you.
Oh boy.
It's the studio version of Watching You.
Yep. Two great songs. I love the riff
I like a lot he gets out of there. He also wants to make a point. I know he's trying to do persuade people.
I love
campaign a little bit.
I love the riff in Watching You. Great riffin. I love the version on Alive 1, Alive, you know, Alive, and Alive 3. Great versions, both of them. Studio version is great as well, I think. I love the variance of the riff throughout the song. And it has got one of the creepiest Kiss lyrics of all time. And I think that's a good thing. Unholy, great lyrics. I guess we have to tip our hat to Vinnie Vincent for that one, I think. It doesn't sound like Gene lyrics. It sounds like Vinnie Vincent lyrics. An awesome solo from Bruce Kulick. I hear it in my head now when I'm talking about Unholy. Such a great standout solo for Bruce. One of his best, I think. The production of Revenge is, of course, a big factor. It sounds awesome. Probably, when it comes to Sonics, you could either go Rock and Roll Rover for the classic Kiss sound, or if you want a modern sound, you have to go for Revenge, I think, because that's the best sounding sort of modern. I know it's like 30 years old record, but to us, it's a modern record. So it's a hard pick. Two great songs, but the studio version of Unholy is so spectacular. I think it's the best song they released post 70s and 80s by far on a studio album. So my vote goes to Unholy.
Okay. Lonnie.
It is the studio version of Watching You. It's not the Alive One version of Watching You. We have to keep that in mind. And Unholy is so good. I love Watching You, though. I really do. I mean, especially on Alive One and Alive Three, it sounds really great there, too. But I'm not going to go against Unholy on this one. Unholy is so, so, so great from just the fade in until the very end of it, and the lyrics and the solo and everything about it is just put Kiss on the map for me. And I'm not going to pick against it.
Mark.
Well, this is going to be interesting because, you know, you have a song where, you know, it comes from a record that's, you know, clearly, you know, they had cotton balls in their ears or the studio gear was shit. They did such a terrible job mixing a record. So that record suffered greatly. And I talk about Hotter Than Hell. Although, you know, talking about somebody who could possibly ruin a record, we're talking about Bob Ezrin now. This guy, just his name on a record immediately, especially a Kiss record, makes me just say, oh God, what am I going to be in for now? You know, because all this prior stuff was just so crap that he did with these guys.
Because your time sounds like such.
But
it was quite fun. When we did the last riff episode, almost all of your picks were from Bob Ezrin records.
Yes, they were. Because I was trying to make a point there. Because the fact is that the songs themselves were good. It's what he does to the production, to the songs themselves. That's what I don't like, right? Now, the thing is, when I first heard Revenge, I have said this many times, I was absolutely floored and surprised that was Kiss when I first heard it. And Unholy was the first song that I heard off that record. And I immediately liked it, you know. And it did kind of make me sit there and think, well, you know, maybe Bob didn't fuck this one up as badly as he did the other records. So, I have to agree with all the things that we've heard so far, which is the fact that Bruce's solo was very good on this album. His, you know, the songwriting itself is good. Vinny's lyrics are fantastic. And while I do like Watching You, I'm going to go 3-for-3 here with Unholy. I think it is. That version of the song is just absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the Watching You is good, but it just sounds like some really badly recorded song in someone's basement demo compared to Unholy. Yeah.
So what are you voting for?
Unholy.
Oh, sorry.
It's good to know that Julian's paying attention when we go through this stuff. Yeah.
And shot at Julian.
I'm just here to write shit down and pick stuff out of the hat, Mark. I'm not actually here to.
and he hasn't forgotten Ken once this episode, so that's good.
Not yet, but there's still time. We've got a few picks to go yet because we could do this whole round. Ken, you can vote with your heart now.
I was going to vote for Watching You, actually. I think about the production of Hotter Than Hell, and it's kind of like, you know, if they changed the production, I probably wouldn't like it. I think the way it came out, even though it is muddy and weird, that's what makes it kind of cool in a way. You probably never know, because they'll probably never be able to remix it unless they use that special Beatles software or do whatever. But I love Watching You, and that again, that song, even though we're not talking live, I like it on record. The whole song, and it translates great live. Man, I watched that the other day. What was that one? Santiago, or I don't know what it was they played. The one they played in 94 live.
Yeah, Santiago. That was a good one.
Man, God, that was so good. So, I have to go with Watching You. I love Unholy, but I never heard a good version live of that one.
No, but we're not talking live.
I know, but I love Unholy, but I still like Watching You better. I just like the whole.
Because you're just referring to the live version of Watching You and the live version of Unholy, you have to keep in mind we're doing the studio versions, Ken.
It says Ace and Peter. Anyway.
Yeah. 70s Kiss.
That's not always a good thing when Ace is
involved. Ooh.
All right. So moving on to the next pick. The next pick. Ken, get us started. I Want You versus 100,000 Years.
Ooh.
Easy.
Yeah, this is going to make a twist.
I'm going to go with, yeah, that's very tough. So I'm going to go with I Want You. One of the songs that got me into Kiss at the beginning, that's really kind of woke me up and noticed Kiss.
That's a great idea.
100,000 Years, man, that's another great one. But and again, you're talking, yes, production again. I know we talked that, but I Want You was the one that really started it for me and got me into Kiss right at the beginning. So I Want You is just perfect. So I got to go with that. Not by much, but I'm going to go with that.
Daniel?
I don't know who this R.J. Jordan is. I haven't seen him before, but he has some great comments. Keep them coming. Yeah. So, no, this is easy pickings for me. I never really got 100,000 Years. I think the lyrics are, you know, not much to talk about, and if you're into Ace, I guess you like the extensive soloing on this song. But against the other one from Rock and Roll Over, not a chance. So I'll go with the Rock and Roll Over song.
This is interesting, Lonnie.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I really enjoy both of them, but I'm gonna go with I Want You though. I like I Want You more than the studio version of I Want You. I like more than the studio version of 100,000 Years. 100,000 Years. We talked about when they did the last show back in December and how criminal it was that we just got the end of that song because it's such a great song when it's done live. But I Want You is so good. Like just the way it starts off and just slams into you after that. I'm going to go with I Want You.
Mark, how about you?
Now, just really quickly before I give my vote, I'll make it short, but RJ Jordan, when I first read that comment, I thought it said, I'm going to order Mark a birthday Camaro from Bob Ezrin, which I was thinking, hey, Camaro. Yeah, that would definitely put me in the good books with Bob Ezrin there if I got a Camaro from Bob Ezrin, you know. But then, you know, but just like hoping for a good production from Bob with Kiss is doubtful. I guess that's doubtful I'll get a Camaro from him.
Bob Ezrin's going to produce Mark's next album.
Never in 1,000 years. Okay, so I Want You against 100,000 Years. Well, 100,000 Years, I really love that song. But it's missing a lot of the things that I love about it in the studio version. So to make a long story short, I Want You has always been a standout song. It's from my favorite Kiss record. It opens the album, and I'm going to go with I Want You.
Sweet. I'm going to go with trying to come off mute. All right. We only got a few more left, so we'll just keep going if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, of course, of course.
All right, next up, Nowhere to Run versus...
Oh
shit. What? Two from the same album.
Ooh.
I'm a Legend Tonight versus Nowhere to Run.
Ooh.
Easy elimination.
And we're starting with Lonnie on that.
I'm going to go Nowhere to Run over I'm a Legend Tonight. Nowhere to Run, I think, is a little catchier, a little bit better riff. It's tough, but I'm going to go Nowhere to Run. They're both really very good, very similar type vein of songs. Paul definitely had like a formula he was following at the time when he wrote the four songs that ended up on Killers. But I think Nowhere to Run's the better of the two, in my opinion.
It's funny that there's still three songs from Killers in the mix here.
yeah.
Mark, Nowhere to Run or I'm a Legend Tonight?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with Lonnie. I mean, both songs are so good. I mean, it's on different days you might get a different answer from me, but I think the one reason why I'm going to go with Nowhere to Run is because I've always loved it when he's done that sort of 12-string acoustic guitar mixed with the electric in there. I've always loved that sort of sound, and as far back as him doing that on I Want You, or bringing in the 12-string on his solo record there, the opener from that one as well, I love when he has those kind of layerings with the guitars, and I think it's really well done in this song, and the choruses really, really stand out. So was I'm a Legend Tonight as well. It's a hard pick, but I'm going to go with Nowhere to Run.
All right. Daniel.
I think it's incredible that Paul could come up with four songs of this caliber after the fiasco that is The Elder just a few months earlier. Sometimes I feel like they are, not getting the attention they deserve. I would like to have seen all of these songs that he did for this album on a proper studio album, because I like a lot of them. Maybe the weakest one is Down on Your Knees, but it's still an okay song. Nowhere to Run, unfortunately, they didn't perform it live a whole lot. The riff is awesome. I love the riff. I love the vocals, of course. The other one is good as well, but Nowhere to Run could have been a staple in their set, I think, when Paul Steele could belt it out, it's such a proof of what he was capable of as at the height of his powers. The vocals on this song can't be matched. I can't see a cover of this song sounding better. It's pure perfection. And he tried it a few times on the cruise, I think, and other times, but it was a bit late. His voice was kind of shot. I would have liked to see this song be in the live set, because I think it's one of his best 80s songs. So I'll go with Nowhere to Run.
Yeah, it's a shame it was rehearsed for the 89 tour and just not done.
Okay.
I wonder if there's
that would have been great.
Well, I wonder if there's a recording of rehearsals with it on, or whether it was just on the list before they started rehearsing. Because, of course, he
like
did
to
Hide
hear
Your
that.
Heart. Or what did he do on the 89? Yeah, it was Hide Your Heart, which was going to be on the next album anyway. So it would have been very cool. I mean, I'm really grateful to the stuff Bob and Bruce Kulick did together, in the final years of Bob's life, where that song got performed and we got to hear Bob playing it the way it should be played. So again, from nothing, there was at least something. Ken, what's your pick for these two Kiss Killers tracks?
Well, here's my easy answer. There you go.
Ken lets the music do the talking.
So, yeah, Nowhere to Run wins pretty easy. I like the other song, Legend Tonight, but Nowhere to Run is the best out of all four songs on Killers that were new. So, easy.
Yeah, and funny to think. I raised three fingers when Danny was saying how amazing it was about Paul came with four songs, bouncing back from The Elder, because Nowhere to Run was before The Elder, which is even more amazing in a way. Great song. Absolutely fantastic song. But wouldn't have worked well in concert in 83 with I Still Love You. Two songs of that kind of length and power. All right, next round is Parasite.
Ooh.
Mm.
Detroit Rock City.
Oh my god,
Mark.
Well, this is pretty tough. I mean, Parasite is such a great song. Good riff there. Interesting lyrics. Conceptually, again, we got that, you know, the asterisk beside the sign. It's got to be studio version we're talking about here. And, you know, the studio version of it is, it's okay. If the production works on any song, it's probably this one in strange ways. I think it works best on the sort of muddy, grungy sound. So it doesn't really give it too big a strike here. Now, we flip over to Detroit Rock City, which, you know, has that guy there behind the desk again. But the song overall is such a, you know, well-constructed song. I mean, the one thing about the song I've never liked is that whole, you know, minute and a half of washing dishes and all that other shit that was going on at the beginning, typical Ezrin fluff that he puts in there. But, you know, the song itself is good. I mean, I'll even give credit to Bob for constructing a decent guitar solo. I never thought he had it in him to do something like that. That's in the song. So I think overall, if I was to be totally honest, as much as Bob's involved in it, I'm going to go with Detroit Rock City.
And I'm going to go with Getting Off Butte again. All right. Daniel.
This is a hard one. I've always loved Parasite, and I really like the studio version as well. Detroit Rock City is, of course, an all-time classic, great riffing, cool solo and all of that, but I've heard it so many times, and I've been yearning to hear Parasite live, because I think it's one of the early heavy metal songs, sort of. You know, it's so early and it's so heavy, so it was kind of groundbreaking song for Kiss. Both songs are absolutely fantastic, but just for the fun of it, I will go with Parasite.
Oh, nice. Now we got a round. All right, Lonnie, Detroit Rock City, Parasite.
Parasite's so good. I really love the riff, and Ace's riff on that's so good, and the song is so good. But I can't. But Detroit Rock City is Detroit Rock City. It's you know, the riff on that's even better, and the solo on that's even better. I'm going Detroit Rock City. Parasite's great, and this is a tough one, but Detroit Rock City is so classic Kiss, and it's you know, it comes down to like Detroit Rock City. That's one of the reasons that we are Kiss fans, is because the songs like that, and it's one of their classics. I mean, it's a great show opener, it's a great way to close the set, it's a great way to start the encore. It's so good, no matter what you do with it. I don't care if there's dishes washing in front of the studio version or not. It's a great this song is... and I can't pick against it in this case.
Well, Ken?
Yeah, I got to go with Detroit Rock City. Just a classic song, great riff. I love the solo in the middle of the two guitars. It's just great. You know, it's just a well produced song.
His head came up.
Throw that in there. it was just very well done. Parasite, yeah, it's a really, really good song. I would probably get sick of it if I heard Parasite as many times as I've heard Detroit Rock City, and I don't get sick of Detroit Rock City at all. So yeah, Detroit Rock City is going to win for me.
All right, next round. King of the Nighttime World versus Baby Driver. Daniel?
What? Baby Driver is kind of a cool Peter Criss song, mostly because of his great vocals. We all love those vocals. This week I've been listening to his, 1980 solo album. And great vocals, but a whole lot of piano on that record. But the vocals really stand out, and it's the same with Baby Driver. I love those vocals on that song. But King of the Nighttime World is such a... even though it's a cover, it so fits the Kiss mold, you know? It's a classic Kiss song from the beginning of, you know, Ace doing that lead thing on his... the lead guitar thing there. He holds out that tone, and it was great when you, even though on record it sounds great, but it was even great when you listen to it to in Australia, 1980, sounded awesome. So it always translated great live, but the studio version, of course, I'm not a hater on Bob Ezrin, so I kind of like the studio version of King of the Nighttime World as well. So I'll go with King of the Nighttime World.
Yeah, and Baby Driver is one of those songs. It's like people are probably wondering, how the hell did that get this far in this, death sort match? But, you know, I'm glad it's here. I'm glad we've got some songs like that, which are outside the norm. Ken.
Yeah, while I do like Baby Driver a lot, actually, it's not going to beat the other, even though the other one is not truly a Kiss song in the sense of, you know, they didn't write it, King of the Nighttime World. So, but it made it, it's a kind of, they made it their own, and it sounds like it, yeah, it's a Kiss song. And it's always cool when they used to bring it out in concert. So I have to go with King of the Nighttime World.
Yeah, no, it is a Kiss song. Go on YouTube, listen to the Hollywood Stars version of it, and then listen to the Kiss song. Complete the same song, completely different songs,
different vibe. Yeah.
Mark, I'm going to make sure that your opinion on a Destroyer song counts.
Okay, well, you know, we talked about this already about how Rock and Roll Over is my favorite album of all time, and I love Peter's voice. I think he has a great singing voice. King of the Nighttime World is probably one of the songs on the album, that album, that I like probably the most, because I think it's the least affected by Bob on this album. Yeah. It's very guitar centric. It's not so much all the other nonsense that he likes to put in there with bells and whistles and all the other crap that he puts on songs. So it's very much focused on what Kiss does best. And truth be told, you know, Baby Driver is my least favorite song on Rock and Roll Over. So I can't with any honesty pick that song strictly because I love that album. See, the difference between me and 70s Ken is I can branch myself out and open myself to different opinions and thoughts and not be so centralized to a certain time period. So I will go and say that King of the Nighttime World is the way to go for this.
Aren't both songs 70s songs?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's a good point. It's very clean, so to speak, yes. King of the Nighttime World. It feels like a straight-ahead rocker. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. Lonnie, your vote doesn't count, but it does.
I'm still going to go King of the Nighttime World anyway.
Yeah.
it's so great. It's like and you know it's a cover, but man, it sounds like a Kiss song. And I love it when they do it, and they haven't done it hardly at all since the reunion tour, which I think was an injustice to the song because it is such a Kiss classic, and everybody's going to go, everybody who goes to see them really, you know, anything outside of Detroit Rock City and Rock and Roll Night, you're going to know those core songs off of Destroyer, including King of the Nighttime World. So it's a shame it didn't get as much playing as in the later years of their career because it is so good. But King of the Nighttime World for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just the transformation of that song, like I said, absolutely amazing. And it hurts to, I love Baby Driver. All right.
Yeah.
An ultimate round. I Love It Loud versus All American Man.
Ooh.
Bonnie.
All American Man's fun song. It really is. You know, and I Love It Loud has just played freaking death since they brought it back in 2000. You know, it kind of ran its course pretty quickly and was just, kind of over it at a certain point of going to see him in concert. It's just like, okay. And it just kind of plots along a little bit. I'm going to go off the grain. I'm going to go All American Man. I like All American Man a whole lot. I know I Love It Loud is a hit for him, so to speak. And it's a staple for him in concert, But I like All American Man. I really do. I'm going to say All American Man. Probably not going to win, but I'm going to give it some love.
Well, Ken, what you got to say to that?
I got to go. I like All American Man. I really do. That's probably, I'm probably the one that put it through prior rounds.
It's not Gene.
It's not. Yeah, it's not Gene.
There you
but,
go.
And, but I'm not going to be. I'm not going 70s either, Mark.
Look at that.
I'm going to go with I Love It Loud. I remember hearing it on the radio one time, maybe twice, when it first came out as a single. But I thought it was great. You know, just a great, the whole theme of it. The sound, you know, the lyrics, the way they, the chanting, which is the really the first time Kiss ever done anything like that. And the production on that, where they fade out and fade in, you know, other artists have done things like that in the past, but it all really worked well. And I didn't get sick of it so much live in concert. I think it's still a fun song. It's an anthem. So I have to go with I Love It Loud.
I'm curious, Ken, how did you feel when you heard it live? Because you're one of the few that attended the Creatures concerts. So do you remember anything of hearing it live?
Yeah, I mean, I remember it. Maybe it didn't translate as well as I thought it should have been done on the record, but it was still pretty darn good live, and it got the crowd into it back then at the time. So that's why it's, I guess, stayed in the set, because it's actually worked pretty well in concert. Though, like Lonnie said, it does kind of, it's a slower kind of plodding kind of song, you know, but it is an anthem.
Mark.
Again, Creatures of the Night is one of my favorite records, top three record. I thought Alive 2, the studio side was okay. I mean, you know, I thought Rocket Ride is a good song. Never was big on, you know, Rockin' in the USA. I always thought it was a little cheesy, that song. And then you had the Dave Clark 5 tune, which is whatever. I could have did without that. All American Man was okay, but I always thought it was really kind of a, you know, it didn't grab me like the others. Let's just put it that way. I Love It Loud, when I first heard that, I mean, that was like, okay, when they thought about doing this whole sound for the record, I mean, they squarely based it around the song, it seemed like. I mean, that drum sound is just, if you want to tell people what Creatures of the Night sounds like, you put this song on, like that whole, it's like unbelievable. You know, and when people ask why they didn't continue with this sound on other things, I mean, it just probably wouldn't work on some stuff. Could you imagine playing Strutter with that sound? I mean, it just wouldn't work on the drums for that, you know. It would just be unbelievable. But it works for this album perfectly. So I'm going to go with I Love It Loud. I've always liked the song. So I have no trouble with voting it.
Daniel.
I think I Love It Loud was the closest Kiss ever came to sounding like, you know, like We Will Rock You with Queen. A great staple, and you knew from the get-go that this would be a live song when you heard it on record. All American Man has got probably one of the coolest Kiss riffs of all time in it, even though it's kind of a rip-off of Deep Purple's Burn. But the riffing is so cool in All American Man, and Paul's vocals are, of course, off the charts, as they were back then. But I think there's a reason why I Love It Loud stayed in the set for such a long time. The studio version that we're talking about sounds great, but there's something about the lyrics, the drumming, and the deliverance from Gene, you know, it sounds really cool. And I can get into the lyrics too. I Love It Loud. I want to be the president, you know, all of that. I think it's a cool. And of course, the chorus, I Love It Loud. We all love it loud. So I think the lyrics are sort of being negligated at times. I think the lyrics to I Love It Loud, they're great. I think the lyrics are typically Kiss lyrics, and Kiss lyrics at its best. And of course, the drumming has been mentioned previously. The drumming is great. And when you start off playing music, whether it's the guitar or drums, this is a great song to start off to. You know, doing that drumming part sounds kind of cool sitting at the set. Do, do, ch, do, ch, do, do, ch, do, da, da, da. It's so classic. So for me, I Love It Loud is the better song.
All right, not really too surprised there. All right, last round, or last matchup. Down on Your Knees versus Hard Times.
Down on Your Knees.
We're going to begin with Mark.
Oh, boy. Okay, Down on Your Knees against Hard Times. You know, again, we were talking about Killers and how, you know, those songs were so fantastic and stuff like that. And I think me and Daniel agree that Down on Your Knees is probably the weakest of the four songs on that. And Dynasty has always been a record that I really loved. I've always said that to me, when I think of New York City, I think of Dynasty. And that record is so well done. And this was during the time of where Ace felt, you know, confident. He did a good solo record beforehand, so when his songs came into the band, took it a lot more seriously. They recorded three of his songs on record, and Hard Times is one of those ones that really stood out to me when I heard the record. I mean, it fit the vibe, it fit the whole persona of the record, and I think it's just the better overall song. And I think the production of that record is really well done too. So I'm going to go with Hard Times. I think it's a good song.
Nice, good choice, Lonnie.
No, I like choice. Hard. I like Down on Your Knees. It's a good song, but I mean, Ace is in such a prime of his songwriting, right in that era, 78, 79. Hard Times is really, really great. Very underrated song. And I mean, Ace brought the goods with Dynasty. That's for sure. And while I like Down on Your Knees, Hard Times is a superior track in my opinion. So definitely going with Hard Times. It's kind of an easy pick.
Yeah, Daniel, you snorted, so I'll go to you.
No, I think this is like the aftermath of the Ace Frehley solo album from 78. He hits a stride. He got the confidence that he didn't have previously when he made songs like Parasite and Shock Me. They were great songs. And by this time, he understood that I got the chops and I can sing my own songs. So I think Hard Times is a really cool Ace Frehley rocker. You know, keeping it simple, keeping it straight. That's the way Ace managed to make great songs. And this is a perfect example of an Ace song that were lacking through the 80s for Kiss. You know, one or two cool Ace songs, you didn't get them on the albums. And that was missing for me when I listened to 80s album. I always thought that Ace could get one or two or at times three songs out of him that were great. And this is a perfect example. Simple rocker, straight ahead. So I'm going Ace all the way on this one.
Nice. Ken, is it going to be unanimous?
Yeah. I told the story. I had the 45 single when the first, before the Dynasty came out, and I bought I Was Made for Loving You, and then I ended up playing Hard Times a zillion times more than I Was Made for Loving You, because I loved that song so much. Just the riff, the story, you know, you feel the New York vibe of Ace, you know, his story. And Yeah, I thought, you know, the drumming, I was like, yeah, I didn't know Peter didn't drum at the time. I was like, man, the drumming's pretty darn good. But yeah, obviously it was Anton Figg. later we found out.
Yep.
But hard times, easy for me. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it really does speak to Ace's confidence coming off the solo album. Hard Times and Save Your Love were fully formed.
Really
the
good.
The demos that he brought in are nearly identical to the versions that were recorded on the album. And it's biographical. It's got that street kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. And it also, I thought Vinnie Poncia did a good production job on those songs because he didn't turn them into commercial pap.
True.
By polishing, he let the kind of attitude remain.
Yeah.
And it was a good balance. And he didn't do that on the following album as much. It kind of took away some of that street edge that really was important to the song. So, and Ken, if you like the single version, you would have heard that slightly different mix, I think. There's a slight difference on the single version than the.
There's a different ending slightly too, isn't it? Or something
like that. There is.
So that was fun. All right, well, we have whittled down this list. There's one extra song that gets a free pass into the next round, and it is Rocket Ride. So I don't feel that's bad a good one. About that. Yeah, it's
so a lot of A stuff, but we need to know a little bit. Do you have any updates on the Ace book, Julian? Any updates on how it's going along? No, it's going.
It's going. It's going.
And you think it'll be released this year?
It won't be released in the spring.
No?
I see what you did there.
and it won't be out in time for Christmas unless I die, you know? So, I mean, there are no pre-orders for it or no GoFundMes. So, it's worked on. And when it passes muster and is a quality product, then it may get published, so we will wait. We will wait and see if it's all it can be.
Okay. So
that is it. That is round four of the death matches in the can. I'm going to go grab a burrito and see if that little local independent record store has
anything
record exciting. Scam day stuff that appeals to me. You know, there is the picture desk for 10,000 volts. If 19 versions of different colored vinyl aren't thing,
not enough.
The picture, of course. You know, plenty of other bands releasing stuff. Mark, you were saying that you're going to go get a Yes album and a Bowie one.
Yes, there's a 771 live show Yale. It's pretty well known amongst Yes collectors, but it's one of the first soundboards that were ever done of a Yes show. So it's fantastic, and it's a good sounding thing if you were interested. And the Bowie thing is a remix and a couple of alternate songs that were used for that album that never made it on the Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. So I'm very interested in grabbing that version of it.
Well, that is it. So for this week, from Daniel, from Ken, Lonnie, Mark, and myself, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the KISS FAQ message board and discuss the topic we've broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.
70s can rules.